Psalms. The book of Psalms. And Psalm number 65. Psalm number 65. We read from verse 9. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the riches thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the spring thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. And friends, as we gather together to give thanks for harvest Thanksgiving, and we know it is a traditional thing with us and many other places throughout the world, and maybe some see it today has not been so relevant because of the different day and the world that we live in and how we all usually have to go out into the fields, as it were, to harvest our foods. But I think, friends, it is, as I'm sure you'll agree, there is always a reason to thank God and to thank God for our daily bread, certainly, and for his provision in many other ways for us. Now, I'm sure that we would also all agree that in this part of the world that we have an abundance. We have an abundance of our daily bread. We have plenty in clothing and homes and all these things that are good and necessary for our day-to-day living. Now, the fact that you may think, well, there are many parts of the world that do not have even enough to feed themselves. But the fact that that is so, it doesn't have to do with the lack of food in the world that God has provided. It is far more to do with the way that it is distributed or not distributed. And many countries in this world have more than enough food that would feed the world if it was distributed in the way that it should do. But how do we view what we receive, an abundance of everything? How do we view that being given to us so graciously from the hand of God from day to day? How do we think about it? Do we think about it? Do we take it for granted? Are we as thankful as we ought to be, even for the basic things of this life? Are we as thankful as we ought to be for spiritual life that the Lord has given to us? We have plenty of everything. Now, of course, being wealthy, as the world would see it, having an abundance of material wealth is not a sin in itself. We know that it's the love of money that Scripture speaks about. And neither, friends, is there a virtue in and of itself of being poor that again can come across sometimes as if there was something that God will have people in heaven just because they are poor. No one will be in heaven or in hell at the end of the day because they are just poor or because they are rich. It is what we do with the greatest gift that we have of all in Christ Jesus. What we do with him is what determines whether it be heaven or hell for us. It is what we do with what God has given to us, how we view the giver, and how we view God in Christ as the giver of life. That is the great question. Are we thankful? And we all ought always to be thankful to God, all of us, but especially believer here tonight, how you ought and I ought to be thankful for the gift of the beloved Son who took our sins upon himself. You see, the sin is in us forgetting to be thankful as we ought to be. Well then, friends, coming to look at the words that we have in this part of Psalm 65 there. First of all, to consider just what a harvest. First of all, there are certain things that are needed. And for a harvest, first of all, there has to be seed and there has to be the rain to fall and the sun to shine upon the ground. Now, notice here how the psalmist is so aware at the very outset of these few verses that we have here of God's hand in this, how he's given the place to God. If you look at from verse 9 onwards, we have got thou, 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 thou visitest the earth, thou greatly enrichest, thou preparest some corn, and thou hast provided, thou waterest the riches, thou settest the furrows, thou makest it soft, thou blessest the springing of the growth thereof, thou crownest the year, and so on. There is an awareness immediately of God being the provider. And friends, surely that is a good place to start for ourselves. When we think of our needs and a harvest needed, that it is God who will even and does even provide in these things. You know, we speak often of the laws of nature. You know, how we consider nature ourselves, and in a sense there's nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But we speak often of the laws of nature as if they are independent of them, of themselves being something special and powerful, and as if in charge of everything, as if nature has power of itself. But friends, nature is but a means in God's hand, what we call nature, to bring to pass what he has already ordained in the physical realm. And so we mustn't think that the rain and the sunshine, at least that's just nature. It is God. It is God who gives. It is God's hand is in all these things. And so through the soil and in God's hand, it all fits together. The soil and the rain and the sun and the seed and the frost or whatever and the harvest. It is all in God's hand. It is all God who is at work in these things. And while the seed is sown without what the Lord has provided for his growth, the sun and the rain particularly, it would not flourish and it would never bear fruit. So we read here, there's the acknowledging, thou waterest it. Thou visit the earth, thou waterest it. It is the Lord who is doing this. It is because we have fruit and all that we have, it is because the Lord who is doing it. He is providing here. Now God assigns everything to its season. So there is provision made. The elements are there. But it is God who is there also for all mankind. And isn't there also, as scripture tells us, it is for the ungodly as well as the godly. It is all there. And what grace and kindness, friends, even at the temporal level, what grace and kindness of God that he shows in allowing the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. What wonderful grace of God that that is so. We read at times in the Old Testament scriptures, you remember, how particularly the time of the plagues, there was the division, where the Lord was blessing the children of Israel and cursing others who were not. But as it is now, for us particularly in this world that we live in, the sun shines on both, on the evil and on the good. And he sendeth his days to us, the Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, he sends rain on the just and the unjust. That is the goodness of God. Regardless of our person's disposition toward God, he gives sunshine, he gives rain, and he gives it, if you like, in equal portion to his own and those who are not. And that is nothing but the mercy and the grace of God. It is, I suppose, what would come under the care, part of it at least, the common grace of God. And the common grace of God should be seen by all and acknowledged by all. Sadly, it isn't, of course. But that is what we see in these things. There is no division made. That rain is falling, the sun is shining, and what comes up out of the ground, it is used for all, whoever it is. And sadly, as I said, all who benefit and all who do so from God's goodness do not give thanks for it, even for temporal mercies. There was a time, of course, when, and I dare say sometimes maybe it was just said without thinking, but where there were never, for example, in these islands, I don't know of any home where even those who were not believers in a home would not give thanks to God and say in the grace, who would give thanks to God, acknowledging that what they received, even this temporal things, were from his good hand. And so we see, friends, that for a harvest that has to be reaped, before sun to shine, seed to be sown, and God doing that for all. But then, of course, if that is so, and how we should give thanks for such a harvest, should we not even more so give thanks for the abundance of the Spirit and the spiritual benefits that have come our way? The spiritual blessings that have come your own way. The spiritual things that you have enjoyed and can partake of. How we should be full of thanksgiving for the abundance of the Spirit, for the harvest of the Lord in Christ has provided for us all. Oh friends, when you think of that for yourself, when you think of that individually, consider yourself tonight, what you have received from us. Consider the wonderful harvest, if you wish. When you think of yourself, who, when we were hardened in our hearts, when we were stony ground, when we were unyielding ground, what has happened? That he has poured out his rain upon us. He has shone upon us with the sun of his love. What fruit, friends, could we bring forth except that it happened? What change would have come into our lives except that it occurred? We couldn't bring it about ourselves. It was not in our own power to do such a thing, except heaven's rain fell upon us and heaven's sun shone down upon us and transformed our lives and brought us into that new relationship with himself. What do we see here? Well, is this not a work of God, particularly the work of the Holy Spirit of God? The Holy Spirit at work. The Holy Spirit poured down upon us. The Holy Spirit, as it were, shining upon us. And when the Word, the seed of the Word is planted, it's not left to itself. You see, it needs particular things to happen to it. And we read in verse 10, thou waterest the ridges thereof. You see the idea of the furrows there. Thou settest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou blessest the growth thereof. And what is it but the Spirit of God who has softened your own heart? All the hard ground that was there. Those of you who know more about what it is to plant, and how often it needs that, how thankful you are for the rain that comes, and how thankful you are for your own heart. If you know anything at all about it, and you have recognized the hardness that was there, and how even still it needs the rain to fall in a sense, and the Spirit of God to soften the hard heart that you know in yourself. And here is what we have here before us, so that through the refreshing rain of the Holy Spirit, what happens? The Word takes root. The Word of God takes root. And along with it, through the warming sunshine of heaven, what was dead comes to life. You were dead in your trespass and sin. You've been brought to life by the Spirit of God. Oh, how thankful you should be for that, even here tonight itself. And what a barren soil we are by nature. There is nothing in us. Nothing in us. Hardness of heart. Coldness of earth. That is how we are. By nature that is us. And by nature we would have remained so, were it not for the Spirit of God working in us. Were it not for that holy rain from heaven. That sun that shone upon us. What were you and I but dry, fruitless, hard ground? But all has no reason tonight. Thanksgiving, praising of God for his opening the windows of heaven and sending his Holy Spirit to do his work in your own life. Wasn't that what the Savior promised? That he would go, I will send him unto you, the Spirit. Yes, to his own, to his disciples, there were certain. To his disciples, but also to you and I, even now. And what's the purpose of it? To bring us to life. To quicken us. Who are dead in our trespasses and sin. Those of us, and who is it? By nature, but dead in trespasses and sin. But by God's grace, this is what happens. It is through his grace and his mercy. What a transformation. What a transformation. You know, yourself sometimes when you see maybe you plant the things and you see not a lot happening. Then one morning, maybe after there's been some showers or rain in the night, and you go out and you see the little shoots of green or whatever coming up here and there. And you know, there's life. The life is there. And dear friends, that's how the life is of the Christian. Brought to life. Brought to life by the power of God. Brought to life by the Spirit of God at work. What is it? Life from the dead. Life from the dead is what we see in these things. My friends, have you got the seal that you once had of thanksgiving to the Lord for that? Oh, how we forgot what we were delivered from. How we forgotten the coldness and the hardness that was once in our hearts. How we forgotten or how we began to think that it is of ourselves that we are what we are. Ah, it is only by the grace of God. Nothing else, friends, will do for us. This is what is happening here. Life from the dead. And so, to acknowledge all thou visest the earth and waters, thou greatly enrichest the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn, and thou so provide. Thou waterest the riches. Thou settest the furrows, makes it soft with shallow. Thou blessest the spring and the growth thereof. Oh, we thank God for the softening power of the Spirit of God, that holy rain that falls from heaven. And so, friends, the refreshing, necessary work of the Spirit that is needed for life from the dead is certainly typology here, a picture for us here at least, of how things are for ourselves as believers. And then secondly, as the rain and the sun and so on are necessary, well, what follows from there? Well, a harvest, a crop will be expected and to follow from there. And the crop comes in due season. Now, seasons are amazing phenomena when you think of it. And seasons are not the work of nature. They are the work of God. They are God's hand. We are told in Scripture there will be a spring, a summer, an autumn, a winter. We are told in Scripture there's a time to reap, there's a time to sow, and there's a time to reap. All these things, that crop is all in God's time. But then there will be nothing going to grow unless something is planted and something enables it to grow. You see, if the rain doesn't fall, and if the sun doesn't shine, although there is seed, read there of the parable of the sower, there is more, as it were, that is necessary as well. You see, the ground being prepared and the sun shining and the rain falling, we should expect fruit to be seen. And when fruit is seen, when, if you like, the corn is growing, that then is proof for us that something was planted there under the ground. And while there was a time when nothing was seen, there will be a time when the proof will be there. Proof of what? A proof of seed being sown, a proof of a previous work going on. That, if you like, that a hidden hand has done this. But even for the planter and the farmer, when he comes and plants the seed, he does so with expectation. But expectation will not be enough. He needs the rain and the sun to come. And so, what we have here, this is what should be seen at the end of it all in verse 13 there. The pastures are clothed with flocks, the valleys are covered over with corn, they shout for joy and they sing. That's a picture of even the pastures as well are singing as they see now there's a fruit here that wasn't before. And there's an abundance of clothed with flocks. The picture probably there is of all the plenty and abundance of food, and all the sheep, if you like, are coming, and plenty for all. So the picture is this abundance. It's not something that happened by chance. It is God who has given and done this. And so the psalmist recognized that. Thou does this, thou art doing that, thou art doing it all. And what would that ground, what would it produce if left to itself? Nothing but weeds and no good crop. And we need then the Spirit of God to work and the seed to be sown for the crop to follow. Then, what about then applying this spiritually a square, a crop, a harvest. Again, we say that it's only if the planting has gone on before. What is harvested, of course, will depend on what is sown. That is obvious. You shall know them, says the Lord in Matthew 7, by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns? Of course not. Or figs of thistles? Asks the Lord. Of course not. And he says, a good tree bringeth forth good fruit. How? Because the seed it comes from was good, and it was nurtured by the Holy Spirit, by the sun and the rain that enables it to grow. So friends, for you and I, we will not grow and bear fruit, and we will not be fruit ourselves to bear fruit, more fruit, unless the Spirit of God is at work in our lives and is doing this in our experience. And if you are here tonight, at home or listen, or here in the church, if you are the Lord's tonight, it should be evident that you are such. Evidence should be seen in your life and mine. Proof should be there in your life and mine. And something else, of course, that can easily come to our minds is that scripture also speaks elsewhere, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, there will be nothing from it. And that is necessary, first of all. And dear friends, isn't that where you and I find life tonight, where our eternal life comes? It comes through the one who gave himself, and the one who died in our room and stead. Why? That we might have life. He is the first. And it all is based and dependent upon him for us. Through his death comes life. He had to die for us to live. And the believer tonight is one who has come to life, who is there to be seen, who is the harvest of the great seed that was there. A seed that has blossomed and is now evident and seen in the world. That's what we have in the church here and there. Is that what we have as Christians here, as individuals as well? And surely, friends, then, if tonight, if you recognize tonight your union with him through his death and resurrection, you cannot but be thankful. And you cannot but praise God. And you cannot but lift up your hallelujahs to heaven when you think of that. Full of thanksgiving, surely, for that above everything else in the world, that we are part of a glorious heaven planted spiritual harvest, united to Christ, united to the seed in our death and in life, in his death and life. And this is not, it is an individual harvest in one sense, but also how plentiful is that harvest? Well, isn't that what we've got here? The valleys are covered over with corn. Verse 13 there. Oh, the picture we have there of the abundance of those who are Christ's. The valleys are covered over with that. And we are told of what else in Revelation? A number that no man can number. We sometimes are a bit like the prophet of old, I am alone left, there's nobody else. And even there, when he's told, but there are 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee. Okay. Yes, and there's more than 7,000. There's a number that no man can number. The valleys are covered over with corn. And what happens? There's a shouting of joy, and there's singing. at the thought of that and at the sight of that as well. So friends, we live, we feel that there are small things and difficulties, but the Lord still has a harvest. And he has a harvest that no man can number. Not one. Every field of corn, yes, is made up, if you like, of individual seeds and individual plants. That is the church as well. But what is common to them all, they have, in a sense as well, the one root. They are all rooted in Christ, all planted by God and individually nourished to life by the Spirit of God. That's you tonight. That's you tonight. That's how you should be glad tonight. Do you recognize yourself tonight? Can you say, well, whatever else, I believe that. Whatever else I am and what I'm not, I believe that. I wish I was bearing more fruit as one who is the fruit of Christ's work myself. But I believe and I know it and I trust in him. And I have nothing of myself. I know I didn't grow myself. I know that I cannot nourish myself. I know that I cannot flourish myself. But I know he can do it for me and does it for me. He has brought me from death to life. Why then should I doubt? But that he'll continue that work in me as well. So my dear friend, have you not then, if you're rooted in him tonight, haven't you every reason for thanksgiving on this day? We all long, do we not then, to see a fresh spiritual harvest in our day of dryness, if not dry. We long for it. We long to see and to hear of sinners being saved. We long, oh, when we last hear of a new shoot here and there, springing up. We pray, must pray, friend, pray for God that the Spirit of God would go down upon us, that the rain of heaven would fall, that the sun would shine once again upon our nation and upon our island, and yes, upon this congregation, particularly at this time. We long for it ourselves. Pray, dear friend, that God would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us. Windows of heaven open and refresh, I guess, and revive and quicken souls as well. Longing for the refreshing, rain of the Spirit of God and the sunshine of his grace as well. That there would be, friends, cloud bursts. Isn't that what we long for? That we would hear the thunder coming and that we would see the result of the rain falling, the Spirit of God at work. You know, we read there in the book of Genesis the promise regarding the physical, while the earth remained as seed and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. That, friend, also could be a spiritual promise for us. Applying it to ourselves. Believing the promise that God, while this world continues, while the world remains, that there will be harvest. There has to be frost as cold and times of heat, summers and winters, days and night. It shall not cease. That God would continue, and he will, friends, of course. He will have his own until the day of the great harvest comes. That would become a prayer of our own, of that spiritual harvest, to see a growth fence amongst us, to see the pastures clothed with flocks, the valleys covered over with corn, that we would see shouting for joy and singing with that as well. What do we should all? I suppose the great shout is, even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come, thankful and longing for a spiritual harvest. You've seen it in your own life, Christian. We have sinned in our own lives, and we cannot deny it, and we are thankful for it. But oh, we long to be not to see it in the lives of others as well. To be brought into that place where they would acknowledge it is the Lord. It is the doing of the Lord. And they would say, ah, it's wondrous in my eyes. Friends, then, be thankful for the spirit at work in your own life. Pray for more of that spiritual rain and sunshine, that it will be in your own experience, more and more in your own experience as well, but also in the ungathering of a greater heart, so at the end of the day you will see the harvest, a number that no man can number. Pray that the Lord would answer even our poor, pathetic petitions according to his promise. So let us then be thankful for our harvest, thanksgiving service, thankful for all, thankful for our own salvation, thankful that he didn't leave us dead as we were, but we have life in Christ. Let us pray.